All right. The words that Jesus spoke, we've been watching how true they were. Before he ascended into heaven, he told them that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Thank you. And so there, if you can imagine now, after, you know, we're in Acts 5 today, if you can imagine just what they were thinking all this time, I kind of imagine this place in which that, you know, they're laying down at night and they're exhausted from the day, but they go, can you believe what's happened? And they just begin listing off these power encounters they had from God powerfully coming through them as they spoke about Jesus and thousands were saved, how the wind, the sound of the wind and the manifestation of the Spirit as people speaking in tongues. And we see all the way through, all of a sudden there's this amazing thing that takes place where this 40 man who's been crippled for 42 years is jumping up and down, and they were all a part of this stuff, right? And then they got in trouble, and then God gave them power to be able to keep speaking about Jesus, and then they got a little nervous, they ran in, got together, and then the power of God came and shook the house, right? That's a pretty powerful few days, right? And it continues on. And as we go through this, we're going to be talking about this whole thing of power and how it interacts with the church. Now, the thing that took place in the first part of Acts 5 is we see that there is the first incident of church discipline, pretty severe. Ananias and Sapphira were two people who had God's discipline come on them. And the way it worked is there is a number of people, they experienced it and filled the Holy Spirit. And because of this, they were able to start seeing and with different lenses. And they saw themselves as a part of one another. And they loved people. And they saw a need. And they God, the Holy Spirit would just say, hey, sell this huge piece of land and or this little extra thing you have and take the money and just give it to the apostles and let them distribute it. And so that was kind of like, wow, that's pretty cool. So this was happening a lot. And this couple decided what they were going to do is do that, but they were going to sneakily hold back some of the money for themselves, but tell them otherwise. And they forgot that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit as well, and all the gifts were operating. He had a clear word of knowledge, understanding this is not, they're not telling the truth here. They've held back the money. So he asked them very directly, is this the amount you got for the land, the full amount? And they just sat there and they, yes, it is. And he started out. And as soon as he said the words came out of his mouth, he dropped to the ground and died. Yikes. All right. So, and then 3 hours later, his wife, the same thing happened. Now, what would your response to be that? Well, you had the same response they had. They were filled with fear, right? That's what happens. And it says, and a great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Fear can take you away from God into sin, or fear can take you to God in place of revering God. And there is a good kind of fear, and this brought the right kind of fear. They understood the holiness of God. I think the message puts it well. It says, everyone who heard of these things had a healthy respect for God, and they knew God was not someone to be trifled with, right? So this new thing started happening. It was kind of a big party that got a little more sober and a little bit more awe of this holy God who was allowing these things to take place. So we pick it up from there. In that context, we see in Acts 5, starting in verse 12, it says, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting together in the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared join them, even though all the people had a high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women, as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out in the streets on beds and mats so that the Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they all And they were all healed. Now, what you see in that, you just understand this was a time in which the power and presence of God was being manifest in a tremendously strong way, right? You know, we see God working all the way through his Holy Spirit, even when Jesus' life. But this was different than they've seen before. This was different than just their conversation hanging around with Jesus. And this is this time in where God's power was coming. These miraculous signs and wonders were taking place. And I love the terminology that people were brought to the Lord. It was just like there was this draw that people were just coming to Jesus at this huge level in the thousands. And it goes on to say, it got to the point that it was beyond one-on-one stuff. It was just the presence and power of God was coming so strongly that even as Peter would walk by, the indication is that people would just be healed by being in the area, right? And very significant. And what you can see in this is this time the kingdom of God, there's a biblical term that we'd probably use for describing it, is this time the kingdom of God was coming at a very powerful level, right? We pray that all the time in our daily prayers, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's happening here is what it should be in heaven is breaking into the present. And these people are having these dramatic encounters with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is coming and doing these amazing things. Now, that term that you'll see throughout Scripture in this place that when God is there in a particularly strong way, you know, and we might say something like God really showed up in that meeting. Like that's just a layman's term for the kingdom of God came in a very strong way. And as we look at this, we start understanding that these things are starting to happen all the time. You know, we see the same wording in where it talks about Jesus, where he says, and he was, now Jesus has the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, perfect in all ways, but it says, and Jesus filled the Holy Spirit. There's this place, the manifestation of God would come in a strong way, or they say, Peter would say, it would say something like, and filled the Holy Spirit. They put this, there's something tangibly of God's breaking through as it ends this moment that was uniquely different than normal, right? And so this is what we're seeing in this. And then, so the response to this, by the high priest and officials and the Sadducees, they got jealous and they put him in jail, right? And so they put him in jail and then they're in jail and it gets nighttime. An angel comes along, opens the jail cell, says, hey, you go back out there to the courts and preach the words of life. Okay, so they walk out and they wait around. It's apparently, it looks like it's in the night and they're like waiting for the first person to come. You know, like, okay. And so about dawn, they start preaching again and they decide, okay. So they go, they go down to pick him out of the jail. The jail's locked. The guards are there. There's no people. And they say, where are they? Go, oh no, they're already up, already talking about what you told them not to up at the synagogue, right? And so they're going, oh, so now you see they got to go pick him up again, right? So they go to pick him up. But now he says they didn't use force because they were afraid of the crowd. But I think they're also understanding the power of God here. And there's this tension they're in. They're like, what if this is the power of God? This is what a lot of discussion is among them. And so they get them together. And guess what they did when they came in and told them not speaking? He says, sorry, we're under a different authority and we'll still take the hits. But we have to say what God has told us to say. And they just don't know what to do with them. And they're afraid to punish them, but they finally just say, oh, we'll just give them a good whipping. So they flog them, and then they leave. And they're like happy. I mean, they're like, oh, this is great. We get to be really like Jesus. We can take some trouble here. So, and they're excited, right? And they go right back to talking and connecting, telling people about Jesus. Now, understanding that is what you see in that spot. You think, wow, that's wild. And it's because the power and presence of God was so strong. And it was breaking through at levels that were just phenomenal. Now, the thing about this is it's helpful to understand this because God is always present, right? He's here right now. He's working. If you know Jesus, even if you don't know Jesus, he's pursuing you. And if you know Jesus, he's with you. He's in you. He's already working and transforming you. He's part of you, you know? It says Jesus, when he got ready to leave, he says, don't worry. Go do these things, but don't worry. I'm going to be with you always, right? And so what we understand about God, even in the bigger picture, he's omnipresent, all right? So he's everywhere. So there's churches all over meeting. There's all the people all over countries. He's all those places, right? I always have people go, oh, I don't want to trouble God about my troubles because he's out working, as if God has a calendar and a time. You know, I only can spend so much time with you, Dave. I got to move over to Iraq and help out there. You know, it's this idea that he only has limited time. He doesn't. Right now, every person here has direct access to God because he's omnipresent. You don't have to wait in line. He's there with you no matter what. All right? That's a cool thing. And as believers, especially because he's indwelled within us, and so we have that with us. He's always working. Right? People always would get confused when Vineyard would say, "Come, Holy Spirit." It's like, wait a minute, the Spirit's here. Why are we asking that? We're not asking to say, "Oh, now be omnipresent." We're saying, "No, manifest your presence." All right? We want your presence to come. We want this, the Lord's Prayer to happen, that your kingdom will come, and we participate in that. Right? And so, you know, David talks about, where can I flee from God's presence? Nowhere. I can go to the deepest sea. I can go to other countries. I can go to outer space. He didn't say that, but I'd say outer space would work. God's still there, right? He, no way you can get away from him, you know. So we understand that. But the other thing is understanding that manifest presence is different than omnipresent. It is defined as a clear and obvious to the mind and eye, right? It becomes clear. God's always been there, but he becomes clear who he is, and he shows who he is in a way that's tangibly seen. Now, when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, he says, and the word for Holy Spirit could be the whole word wind many times, and basically he's saying it's like the wind. You don't know where it comes and goes. It seems like we don't really know that. I've tried to figure that out. It doesn't seem like it ever works. But when it comes, you see it, right? And because you don't see the wind, what do you see? You see the effects, right? You see, all of a sudden, there's this sound that sounds like a roaring wind. You hear the effects. You see tongues like fire. You see people speaking tongues. You see people coming to Jesus who, just before, they were participating in his death. And like, wow, this is what's happening here. Well, the wind is blowing. The Holy Spirit's manifest presence is there. And how does it happen? The man who was crippled for 40 years, kingdom God breaks through. The Spirit comes and is Spirit is manifest, and that person gets healed, right? And people who are affected with demonic affliction get freed, right? And so what was happening here, this is all taking place. Now, we see this whole thing of manifest presence actually throughout the whole Bible. I mean, if you think about that, you just watch for these terminology. You'll see this term throughout the Bible where it says, like, when they anointed David as king, it says the Spirit came on him powerfully, right? And then you look in Gideon, it says, and the Lord clothed Gideon with power. He clothed him with power. And you understand it's saying, you know, God was with him, but it showed up in this way that was noticeable. You know, one of a great, fun thing to read is 1 Samuel 19. We don't have time to get into it, but it's a fun story where basically, you know, Saul is after David and he's sending troops out to find him. Well, Samuel has a school of prophets, and so he sends his troops in to investigate what's going on. And the troops get there, and these guys, they come around the school of prophets, and here King Saul's troops come in, and they start prophesying. The Holy Spirit comes on them and they just start prophesying. So they say, "You guys are no good. What are you doing?" So they come back and say, "Well, here's what happened." They said, "Send someone else." They send another set of troops. They walk in. They start prophesying and thinking the Holy Spirit just came on them, right? They weren't planning on it. They weren't like preparing for it. They were probably not right. It didn't seem like the right people to do that. But the power and presence of God was so strongly that it was affecting even people who just come into the area, right? And then what's great is Saul says, "Oh, you guys, you know, I'll do it myself." So he goes there. And even before he gets to this, the power of God came on. He began prophesying and continued on. And Saul wasn't a nice guy, right? So understanding the power of God coming is kind of interesting, and the Holy Spirit operating and how that works. And what we're seeing in this passage is really that taking place. And a question I would have, if you look at this, imagine this scene of this happening, okay? Where it's, this stuff's happening to such a degree that people are just getting healed and people are coming to know Jesus, and it's very busy and crazy, all things are going on. Where do you want to be? Or maybe, where are you in this scene? Right? Are you the people who say, I want to be the people praying. I want to be walking around beside Peter, learning how to do this stuff. Are you maybe the person who's just showing up and saying, "I'm here, whatever God wants," right? That people who came faithfully to the temple courts. And, or maybe you're the person who is, "I respect this, but I'm going to stay my distance," right? I think there's probably something of God in this, but I'm going to stay back a ways. And then the other group is the people who are really angry and reactive and oppose it, right? Now, Because what I find is, I find that sometimes it's hard for me to keep my heart wide open to the Holy Spirit. All right. Now I do better than I used to do. In fact, for me, one thing we talk about in our church a lot is this: is that you guys have seen this illustration way more times than you like, but we talk about when Jesus is explaining what kind of worshipers he's looking for. He says, "I'm looking for worshipers who worship me in the Spirit and in truth." Right? And the way we talk about that, and this isn't a full explanation of the scripture, it can go deeper than this, but this is what basically we believe: that the scripture is God breathed, and as we open ourselves up, oh, Spirit, and we open our spirits to the words of scripture and respond to it, God transforms us. It brings glory to God. And so we are all about, we need to have the scripture deep in our hearts, right? Now, I grew up with this, right? I grew up with churches that talked about this a lot. And I had to try it, even if I didn't want to. I read scripture, and son of a gun, it works. You start doing what it says, and your life starts changing. God speaks to you. He highlights verses. I mean, it's the most cool deal in the world. So I'm all about that, right? But there's another side of this. So we say we need the scripture deep in our heart, and we need to have ourselves, our spirits wide open to scripture, and our whole beings wide open to the Holy Spirit, right? Spirit and truth. And so here's why. If it is a package deal, it'll be a distortion if you do anything else. And so if you say, well, you know, I'm really a Bible person, but I'm not really open to the Holy Spirit that much. Well, that's not good, because that's where it takes you to a place that you don't, you basically become the Pharisees who read the scripture, know the scripture, but the scripture actually doesn't take you to Jesus, right? It doesn't take you to life. And you have other people who say, well, the Bible's good, all right, but I'm not caring too much about it. But I'm wide open. I'm a spiritual person. I'm wide open to the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't work, because you will create the God that you choose. You're not to create the God who is. You'll be worshiping something that's not true. So the two have to be together. And so for some of you, you can say, yeah, I relate to this. And some of you say, I relate to this, you know, a little bit of the Holy Spirit, right? I'm definitely on this one, a little bit of the Holy Spirit. I came out of a background that I came out of the 70s. There's a big fight in the church that the gifts don't even exist. You know, it's not really a fight anymore. The theologians have given up because it can't hold up. But it was in great theologians would say the gifts have ceased. We don't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which often kept people from even knowing anything about the Holy Spirit. So I grew up in that, and I grew up in a culture that said, do not be an experiential Christian, because we're not about experiencing God. We're just about obeying God. That's kind of the message, right? Which is, you know, I know what they're reacting to, but to say, by the way, your personal relationship, don't worry about actually experiencing God. You know, like, ugh. And so I was always nervous about being experiential in any way. I was always nervous about anybody who was actually passionate and excited. I got nervous around them, you know, like, oh, hey, watch out. You're going to go off the cliff. You know, that was me, right? And so as I went through that, I found myself recognizing, because I had lots of really good friends of mine who were much more, oh, this. And I said, you got to get a hold of the Bible. You know, so we back and forth all the time, right? As we went through that, as I started realizing, after a number of many arguments, that I really had fear of the Holy Spirit. And you know what convinced me of that? I just started reading the scripture. I remember reading Acts 2 and thinking, some people would love to be right in Acts 2, like, oh, put me in there, or even what we just read today, put me in there. I was the person who said, I don't know what to do with that. I'm glad it happened, but I necessarily am not drawn towards it, right? That was me. Now, what's funny about this, it wasn't that I hated the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. I just love parts of the Holy Spirit that was taught that was good, right? So I was taught that when you read the scripture and open yourself up to God and humble yourself, these words come alive and they change your life. And I realized I love that. I had my Bible all highlighted of all the places the Holy Spirit showed me what this meant to me personally. And I love that. I taught a lot, so I was really desperate. I like that part too. Like, you know, hey, if I'm teaching God, I'm hoping you're coming and communicating by your Holy Spirit, because we're in trouble if that doesn't happen. So I was really open to the Holy Spirit in my teachings and Bible. I was actually very open to the Holy Spirit in worship, right? Because I learned by accident, if I open my spirit up wide and say, thank you, Jesus, and begin speaking the truth of who God is to God directly, I could feel his warmth and his presence in a way I never had experienced before. So I think so I love parts of the Holy Spirit. I just didn't like the weird parts. I would talk to God and say, I know you're not weird. I know those charismatics are weird, so I know that's not you, right? So that's how I'd have these dialogues. I want to know who you are, but I don't want the weird Holy Spirit. I want you. And he didn't say much back. And so, you know, I used to have, and it was, and really I recognized it because I looked at my heart and I watched my reactions. And like, if I saw someone like dancing around like that, I would, in my heart, I didn't tell anybody this because I knew that was bad. You know, it's bad, bad, bad to do. But in my mind, I thought, oh, you're probably proud. And, you know, I just found myself being so critical, right? And someone would just get all excited about God. I'll shut them down oftentimes because I want them to, you know, not go off the edge because you're starting to experience God. So as I looked at that, really, those things started allowing me to open up. And so, but I think that there was a point, and I think the story may be helpful, even though some of you probably heard this story. And if you're new to our church, you will hear my stories way more than once, so just get used to it, all right? But this story, I started thinking about it, and I think there was a point that I went from a hesitant this to a all the way this. I'd already done it with the Bible. I've concluded the Bible is God's word. I've watched it. I've experienced it. I'm all the way in, right? But this, I was still understanding there's parts of God I didn't want to open myself up to, especially areas of power. So I was talking to God about that, and there's stuff happening. By the way, if you talk to God honestly about where you really are, he's really good about moving you along, right? And so this thing started happening, and I got to a place that I became so desperate because I was in places of ministry with lots of people, and I had a small group. I was on a leadership team at the church, and what was happening is my experience of what I was saying in the Bible was here. What I was experiencing in the Bible was way down here, and you can't stay in that gap very long. You start changing who God is, or you start dialing down what your beliefs are. And I got to a point of seeing God work through people, but I had a lot of people that had these deep issues within them, and I don't care how many Bible verses I gave them, I couldn't see transformation. And I had these things within me that I couldn't see God changing. And I'd gotten to a point that I was saying, God, I need more. I can't keep ministering like this. It doesn't work. So I was at this kind of desperate spot, and right about that time, in our church, Mark Pedersen, who some of you know, was our sending pastor from Palo Alto. At that time, we were a church in Topeka, and it wasn't a vineyard. It was just a hippie church with a bunch of people trying to seek God. Didn't know what they were doing, but God was there. And we were very much about the Bible and very much describing my theology was like that. We were open to the Holy Spirit. We even taught on the gifts of the Spirit. We just didn't know how to use any of them. And so in the middle of that, Mark went off to a vineyard conference, and then there's another vineyard conference in Kansas City. So we're in Topeka. Maybe you don't know where Topeka is. It's close to Kansas City. And Denver, some people out in Denver were teaching that Mark knew from a vineyard in Denver, and they drove clear across I-70 to this Kansas City to get to the conference. So on the way back, Mark saw him and said, would you mind stopping in to Topeka and having a short meeting with our church? It's their prayer team and the speaker. And so they said, sure. So they pulled in. And so at the last minute, I get this call. They're calling everybody in the church. You got to come. You got to come. You got to come. You're a leader. You must come. So, okay, I'm coming. I'm supposed to be a leader. So Debbie and I go, and we're going through infertility. We're not doing very well internally. I'm dry as can be. And I get there, and this church is very relational. It'd be like I knew all of you, right? So I know all these people. At least there's another church with us, but we're the majority of this group. And so Debbie and I sat, because we heard a little bit about the vineyard, in the back area, a couple of rows in, just in case we need an escape. But I was really pleased because the guy got up front and he was really personable. He was like really honest and didn't hide his stuff and talked personally. And he talked about the kingdom of God in a way I'd never heard. It was really good teaching. And he goes, okay, let's ask him about the kingdom of God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Let's ask for the kingdom to come. So let's all stand up, you know. So I stand up. And he starts praying. And when he starts praying, I'm just telling you, things just start happening in the room. And I've known God for a long time. I've never seen anything like this. And people started weeping. People just started falling all over the place. People started, some people were laughing. I don't know what that was about. There was people who were confessing sins and getting prayer that I never thought ever get prayer, right? And all these things were starting to happen. And Debbie and I, we don't have pockets for it. We don't know where to put it. We just like, I don't know what to do with this. And what was really hard, if it was in any other meeting, I would have judged the people. But these are my friends, right, that I care about. So I'm kind of stuck to not, I can't just write, put in the chem category. So I'm sitting there. So Debbie and I were together hugging each other because that was the safest place we could find. And she's in trouble. She's not doing good. I'm not doing good. And we're watching this, and we're thinking, oh, yeah. And so we decided, not that we needed to pray. We decided we needed to do something. So we started cracking jokes secretly, quietly to each other. Now, that sounds terrible, which probably was. But I needed it. I needed to just between me and my wife. And so we'd say things like, oh, there goes Bob. Ooh, Bob went down. Another one went down. You know, that's the kind of stuff like that was weird. So we'd actually start talking about this stuff. And it actually was kind of helpful, actually, because we weren't being cynical. We were just trying to stay present enough to stay in the room. And I mean, I just had to sit there. And part of the reason I was going to leave, but then I decided, you know, I've dealt with the demonic stuff enough. I kind of know what demonic feels like. And I knew very clearly, this was not psychosomatic. There was no hype. I knew these people. I knew this was spiritual. My question was, is it God? That was a big question I had. And so I dealt with demonic, so I kind of knew that feeling of evil, right? And I also had worshipped. I had opened my spirit to worship. I knew the presence of God. That felt. So here's what I did. If you've seen a movie where someone is going from one safe spot, like in a war, and they have to go out in a vulnerable open air to another safe spot, and they have to run, and they turn to their partner, and they said, I'm going to go out in this vulnerable spot and then go hide something else. Cover me. That's what I said to Debbie. I said, you got to cover me. You pray because I'm going to actually open my spirit up like I used to. I'm going to use this, you know, what I know. I know what God is. And I want to see if this is of God or not. So it was weird, I know. But I just thought, okay, God, I'm really struggling with this. And I said, God, is this you? I just opened. And as soon as I did it, I felt his love and his warmth and this power start coming in, and I did what I should do, just shut it all down, right? I just, okay, that was okay, so maybe it's God. Okay, so that's where I am. So I was a little softer at that point, but not much. And I remember thinking, I looked over, and a friend of mine who I knew really well was one of my close friends who was going through some really, really hard stuff. Struggling in a deep area that only I knew about. And I saw him so desperate. And they asked, if you're in this spot and you want to receive God, just step out in the aisle or something like that. And if they said, stand on your head, he would have tried it because he was just dead, you know. So I see my friend standing against the wall and nobody was praying for him. And he just stood there forever. My heart just broke for him. And I decided, being the pastor I am, that when this was over and he was close to destructive depression, I would make sure I caught him in the parking lot and cheer him up before he went home. That's what I decided to do. I honestly did that because I was pretty certain if anybody even prayed for him, it would change nothing because I'd been around for years in some struggles that he'd had, right? So as time's going on, I have to wait around. So I go back to get a drink of water. I'm in the lobby and there's a plate glass window right there. this plate glass window I'm looking through, and the sound's muffled. I'm kind of, it's a symbol, I think, of where I was at. I could still kind of hear, but I stayed removed, respected, but removed, kind of. And so I was sitting there, and I'm only about 8 feet away from my friend. And I look up front, and there's these, a pastor, Mark, and a couple other elders. I watched them, and they're praying for each other, which kind of seemed good. They're crying and stuff. I think that's good. Okay. So they're walking, and they're all together walking, stepping around over people, trying to find their way through the crowd. And I see they're looking, and they're looking, and they're looking. And they're looking for my friend. And they go up to my friend. They didn't know where he's at. And they find him. And as soon as Mark raises his hand, my friend's pain came out. I mean, we're talking screaming to the point everybody got silent. And he started weeping, which I'd never seen him be able to do. And he slid down the wall, weeping. And people, and I could feel in the room, I could feel in the hallway, I could feel the mercy and love of God come. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm still 8 feet away with glass between me. I'm trying to figure out what to do. And God speaks to me. I don't hear him in audible voices, but this is probably close to as clear in my head as it's almost not audible, but very clear. He said, David, are you in or are you out? And I had to make a decision. And so I opened the door. And as soon as I got near my friend, the Holy Spirit came on me. And I began weeping. And that's why I still weep. It started then. But I started weeping uncontrollably. And feeling God not just minister to him, but minister to me and him. And we were there till like 1:30 in the morning. Now, I say that because sometimes the Holy Spirit is weird to our natural ways of looking at it. And I had to decide in that moment, I don't care if it brings fruit. And that's where understanding that the gifts of the Spirit are not the fruit of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit is not the fruit of the Spirit. What God is after in you is the transformation so you have the fruit of the Spirit. The places of love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That is the transformation of your life, but it happens through the powering of the Holy Spirit. But the empowering of the Spirit isn't in the end goal. It's the place that takes you to that. And so when I understood, I put the two together. This is what people need. This is part of how God comes, and it's just like how Scripture comes. It comes in different ways, and sometimes God comes in power, manifests his power. You know, in our church, we talk often about this, is that we want to be a church that is always bringing God's love, God's presence, God's truth, and God's power. And I'm telling you, I feel like the wind is starting. I don't know. I usually don't ever say these kind of things, but I think God's up to something, you know? And I don't know. I've never been able to. It comes and goes. I'm not sure when God moves at certain times. It's not something we have to strive and work after, but we need to be ready for the Holy Spirit to come any way he wants. And we have to understand as a church, the Holy Spirit can come, and it can come in a way. And if people don't respond with these things tied to it, we can become a church of Corinthians that misses the mark because they don't have love. But if we can be hold to our values of loving every person, especially that person who feels like I did in that meeting, and help them in process of what God's doing, if we can be a church that is always about God's truth going deep in our heart, and we can be a church of community where we gather around people and we have always a place of God's presence no matter where we go, then as God's power comes and breaks in, it has a place to land and to do a good work. Right? And that's what I desire for a church. And so the worship team can come on up. I'm going to give you a challenge, and it's really straightforward. Is welcome the Holy Spirit's power into your need. You say, well, I'm not sure what I want. The Holy Spirit's like, he goes to what you need. So if you have a need, that's the place that God's probably going to start coming in. Maybe your need is, I'm not open to the Holy Spirit. That's great. Ask him to start coming in that. Maybe your need is that you have an issue that's difficult. You have an area of bondage, or you have an area. So, and also just get honest with God and confess your need to another person. Allow people to start praying for you about this. Right? It may be places of fear or pain or anger or where you're not free from something. Or those things that you're doing and it's taking away from God. Those places in your life that you're hiding You know, maybe it's a place of desire that you feel like God's stirring a desire and a calling in your life. Maybe it's a place that you feel God's invitation to step out in this new area and you're afraid. Those are all just great needs. That's where Holy Spirit wants to come. And so you open that up to invite the Holy Spirit. Right? So that's my challenge.